Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Nahum 3. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read your word, we pray that you would help us not to be proud, but to use our power as you would have us to, not selfishly. Help us to accomplish your purpose with what you have given to us. We want to please you. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Nahum 3. Woe to the city that has shed much blood! She is a deceiver. She is filled with plunder. She has hoarded her spoils of war. The crack of the whip, the rumbling of the chariot wheel, the galloping of the horse, the racing of the chariot. Chariots charge, swords flash, spears glitter. Many corpses are piled high. There is no end to the slain. They stumble over the dead. Because of the many idolatries of the prostitute, the beautiful charm of a mistress of witchcraft, she who enslaves nations by her harlotries and peoples by her sorceries, look, I am against you, declares Yahweh of hosts. I will strip up your skirts over your face. I will let nations look at your nakedness and kingdoms your shame. I will throw filth upon you. I will treat you with contempt. I will make you a spectacle. And it will be that everyone who sees you will flee from you, and they will say, Nineveh is destroyed. Who will mourn for her? From whence shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Thebes, she who sits at the Nile surrounded by her waters? Her rampart was the sea, and water was her wall. Cush was her strength, Egypt without end. Put and Libya were among your allies. Yet she went into captivity as an exile. Her children were dashed to pieces at the head of all the streets. They cast lots for her nobles. All of her dignitaries were bound with chains. You also will behave like a drunkard. You also will hide yourself. You also will seek refuge from the enemy. All of your fortifications are like fig trees with ripe first fruits. If they are shaken, they will fall into the mouth of the eater. Look, your troops are like women in your midst. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire will consume the bars of your gates. Draw water for a siege. Strengthen your fortifications. Go to the mud pit. Trample the clay. Grasp the brick mold. There fire will consume you. The sword will cut you off. It will consume you like the locust. Multiply yourself like the locust. Multiply yourself like the grasshopper. You have increased your merchants more than the stars of heaven. Like the locust, they will shed their skin and fly away. Your officials are like locusts. Your commanders are like a swarm of locusts. They encamp on the walls on a cold day. When the sun rises, they fly away. No one knows where they have gone. Your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles slumber. Your people are scattered on the mountains. No one can gather them. There is no healing for your wound. Your injury is fatal. All who hear the report of you will clap their hands for joy concerning you. For who has not suffered at the hands of your endless cruelty? Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. Nahum is about the destruction of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. In chapter 1, we read about how Yahweh is a God who takes vengeance. He is slow to anger, but he will punish wickedness. In chapter 2, we had a poetic description of the battle for the city, with chariots rushing around and people fleeing. Israel was also mentioned in contrast to Nineveh in both chapters 1 and 2. that God would make them continue while Nineveh and Assyria would come to an end. Now, this chapter starts with the word woe, and this chapter seems to focus a bit more on why this destruction is coming on Nineveh, the city that has shed much blood, that is deceived, that has taken much plunder. Assyria was known for their cruelty to their enemies. The deception thing is an interesting note. Perhaps it's talking about how they would use deception to get their enemies to surrender. They tried very hard to get Jerusalem to surrender without a fight in the days of Hezekiah. There are generally basic things that people know about morality. They know certain things are wrong. Murder, theft, and lying. And of course, Assyria could get away with those things because they were powerful. And people today justify them to themselves. Well, they look at other people and they're angry with other people who do those same things. We get another brief poetic mention of the attack with chariots and swords and piles of corpses. Or possibly that's a description of the many wars that Assyria had waged against other nations, but I think in the context here is talking about this battle and destruction of Nineveh. Then we have a description of Nineveh as a prostitute who practices witchcraft. Yahweh says he will expose her to public ridicule. And this description reminds me of Babylon in the book of Revelation. He says people will get as far away from her as they can. No one will want to be around her when she falls. Then he brings up the city of Thebes. Thebes is also known as Noamon, or just No, in the Bible. It was a powerful city in southern Egypt. It had strong allies with the nearby nations. It had the water to surround it, and yet Assyria was able to destroy it. He mentions that her children were dashed to pieces. That was literally done in some of the wars in those days, and Assyria certainly would do that. Genocide, trying to wipe out the descendants. It also talks about taking the great men of the city away as captives, perhaps for slavery. But God's point here is Nineveh is not any better than Thebes. They thought they were. They thought they had won all those battles in their own strength. But God says their walls and forts are like ripe figs. A little shake and they'll fall and be eaten. He says their army is like women, meaning weak. In those days, women were not in the army because physical strength was all important in war. There were no guns. There were no troop carriers. They got to battle on foot, and they killed people with swords and spears and bows by hand. God says they will be weak when they are attacked. He says their gates are wide open. The enemy will just march right in. Then we have another poetic description of the coming attack. They will be trying to prepare, gathering water, building up the fortifications, but it won't help. He says they have so many people, so many merchants, who will all disappear when the going gets tough, so many commanders, who will also disappear like locusts flying away. He says the rulers, described as shepherds, are asleep, and the people will be scattered like sheep on the mountain. And then he says that everyone who hears about their destruction will be happy about it, because Assyria has been cruel to everyone. And now for a deeper dive. What will people say at your funeral? Generally, people say nice things at funerals. But what will people think when we're gone? This is a pretty sad ending here, that everyone will be happy when Nineveh is destroyed. If we live by our own power and what we can force other people to do, then when our power goes, so will all our friends and no one will be sorry. People who have power can get away with being mean to others for a time. Most of us don't have the luxury of being able to be mean to people because we don't have enough power to get away with it. But are we doing the opposite? Are we helping people we don't need to help? Are we inconveniencing ourselves to be good to others? What people think and say when we're dead is an interesting thought, but actually, it doesn't matter too much. What really matters is what God thinks of us at the end of our lives. Will God think our life was a success? Or is God against us? Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.